This is Doug Miller. You can hear the gospel. You can tremble. You can get frightened. You can get all emotionally shook up. But does any of that save you? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged and delighted to be back with you one more time, this side of eternity, Word of God in hand. And we are entering into a very interesting discussion this morning concerning the governor, Felix. This is, I think, of very great importance. So come along, bring your Bibles, open up. We will begin at Acts 24 and about verse 24. We ended here last time, but for the sake of continuity, we'll take it up again and go down, and we'll get down into chapter 25 easily enough, I think, today. Bring your Bibles, come along, Acts 24, verse 24. Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it. And, of course, we are strictly a faith ministry. We have no denomination behind us, don't intend to have, don't have any kind of boards behind us other than the organization of Dialogue. We are utterly and absolutely dependent upon the people of the Lord for any assistance you can give us helping this get out. Now, let me say something about that. If you are unsaved, don't be sending money to Dialogue. You don't need to be sending money to Dialogue. I don't know why you would. This is strictly and something for the Lord's people. If you think you can give gifts to God as an unsaved person, let me tell you something. You are rejecting God's gift. You haven't received his gift to you. You receive his gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. You get saved, and then if you want to come and send in gifts, fine. But until then, don't do it. Don't do it. You're not helping yourself any, and you're certainly not honoring God. All right, enough of that. What can you do? All of you out there who are saved, pray for Dialogue. Tell people about Dialogue. Help us out in this regard. If you have any interest in this ministry, whatever. Now, we, of course, I always say this because it's the truth. Would love to hear from you. Always a delight to know where you are, to know, to answer any questions you have, to help you in any way that we can, and I mean with no strings attached. Never have, gone back and harassed people who write to us. So let us hear from you. Dialogue Ministries, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. And Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We also have you can email us, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. And you can pull up our webpage and look and listen to the broadcasts, MP3 files. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. If you wish to talk to me, telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. 405-535-9089. You will get a recording, leave a message. I will get back to you. Now, Another little announcement here. I haven't been saying this, but for some time now I've been leading a Bible study. It's sort of a lecture format, and this is on Mondays at noon at the Oklahoma Station Barbecue. That's at 50th and Meridian in Oklahoma City. And Christians come out to that and sit down, and I stand up and talk. And this has been a great blessing to many. One of the people who comes to the study said, "Why don't you announce this, you know, study on the air and invite people to come out?" I said, "All right, I will." So I just did. So that's every Monday at noon, Oklahoma Station, 50th and Meridian, Oklahoma City. Bring your Bible. Come out. Delighted to see you out there if you can come. All right. Let's get into the Word of God. When we were in here last time, we have the governor, Felix, and here he was in Caesarea, and here's where Paul had been brought. Last time we saw a delegation from Jerusalem who came down and made accusations against Paul before Felix, and we saw what Paul said. We saw the exchange, and this exchange interested Felix. Felix had very obviously heard of Christianity, heard of Jesus. He had obviously heard of something that was going on here. His wife, Felix's wife, Drusilla, was a Jewess. She was not a Gentile. And Felix said, he called Paul in. We saw this. It's the end of chapter 24 last time. This is after the trial and so on and so forth. He said, "Listen, I want tell me some more about this." As Paul was talking to him, reasoning of righteousness, temperance, and judgment, Felix trembled. Now, I want to tell all of you listening to me something. Judgment is coming. We will either, as believers, stand before the bema of Christ to give an account of our service and our walk down here. And this is not judgment. This is not judgment at all. This is a matter of giving an account for the purpose of rewards. But it's not judgment. Judgment will lead only to condemnation. And that's the great white throne, and that is coming. And furthermore, judgment is getting ready to fall on this earth. We have got, looking ahead from where we sit right now, we have got a 7-year period, and I'm persuaded it's not very far off in the future. It is called a great tribulation, and it's going to fall on this world, and it's going to fall hard, because the wrath of God is going to be poured out on a world that is rejecting our Lord Jesus Christ, rejecting the gospel. You can laugh now and have all the fun you wish. You can be angry. You can do what you wish. Or you can do what Felix did here. You can tremble. Now, Felix, I mean, he was frightened. He was shaken up by this. But the question, does this save you? Did Felix get saved? I don't believe it. I don't see anything in any of this that even suggests that Felix got saved. But he had a chance, didn't he? He had a chance to believe the gospel. He had, standing before him, talking to him, as a man who was, by all odds, the most powerful proclaimer of the gospel in that day and in that time. Many, many, many people, Gentiles and Jews, were saved by listening to this man. Here was a man who had been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. Here was a man filled by the Holy Spirit who had a knowledge of Scripture and of the Bible that has been rivaled by few, if any. And here he was, face to face with this man, Paul, looking him in the eye, listening to him, and his reaction, he trembled. And he said, look at this, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Oh, my. Am I talking to anyone out there? Was there ever a time when you were confronted by the gospel, when someone with power presented these facts to you, when someone said to me, there is no escape? You will certainly go into death, but that is not the end. You will certainly be raised up, and you will certainly stand before God and give an account. And if you are in rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his gospel, you will not have a leg to stand on. God is dealing with you right now in grace. Salvation is yours for the taking. All you have to do is believe the gospel and be saved. Did you ever hear that and then say, well, let me think about this? There are many people, I am telling you, I've seen it happen. You go into a place, you sit, you listen, you get up, you walk out saying, well, not now, maybe later. Got other things I need to do. Young people in particular, oh, I've got too much living to do yet. I don't want to go that route. I mean, that they'll mess me up. I can't have any more fun that way. And out they go, and when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. Well, do you think Felix ever had a convenient season? I'm telling you, there is no indication in this Bible that he did. There is no indication in this Bible that Felix ever got saved. And he died a long, long, long time ago. And he will, unless he got saved, and there's, once again, there's nothing in this Bible that indicates he did. Unless he got saved, he is going to stand and give an account, and he will not have a leg to stand on. You sat there, you listened to the gospel presented by Paul. What'd you do with it? Nothing. I tell you, it will go very hard for this man. Look at verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Yeah. Did he get any money from Paul? I don't believe Paul did it that way. Here, let me pay you off and I'll get out of here. But after 2 years, 2 years, look at this. Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now, Festus was another guy. Festus was another one of these hotshot rulers in this area under the authority of Rome. And let's go right on down into chapter 25. It's been 2 years. Paul has been here more or less a prisoner. Now, he was kind of under house arrest. He wasn't wearing a chain, but he wasn't free either. He couldn't go where he wanted. He had to stay around there. And Felix kept fooling around here. And, it's really kind of sad, but here's Festus. And he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest, verse 2 of chapter 25, and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying in wait the way to kill him. These guys never give up, do they? I mean, this is sad, but it's almost comical. I can say, they are wrought up. They are all troubled. I mean, it would be a great weight off of them if they could just kill Paul, but they can't seem to manage it. And in verse 4, Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. So once again, we see Roman law trumping the Jewish law here. You want to accuse him? You go with me. We'll go to Caesarea, but I'm not bringing him back to Jerusalem. And in verse 7, and when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Wow, isn't this amazing? They couldn't prove a thing. They had all of these complaints, and no doubt, I can just see these guys. They were probably terribly upset that these ignorant, backward Romans would demand some kind of evidence. Why don't they just take us at our word? We told you the man was evil and wicked and needed to be killed. Why isn't that enough? Look at us with these oily smiles. Would we lie to you? Yeah, I believe you would. People will lie. You know, that's exactly what people do. They do it all the time. These guys cannot prove one word that they have said, and here they stand. And here we have in verse 8, Paul, while he answered for himself, quote, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar. He's going to bring Caesar into it here. Have I offended anything at all but Festus? Here we have Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Ah, now Festus we saw earlier. He wouldn't bring Paul to Jerusalem just on the word of the Jews. He knows that Paul is a Roman citizen, and therefore he has to exercise a certain amount of caution here, doesn't he? And so he asks Paul, will you willingly, of your own free will, I mean, go with me and be judged in Jerusalem? Now, I don't know exactly what Festus is up to here. But it says here that he was willing to do the Jews a favor, a pleasure. He wants to keep them happy. And therefore, Paul, will you be good enough to condemn yourself, to put your head in the lion's mouth after all? Just say that you'll do this and they'll kill you, and I will be, you know, I will have done nothing more than what you voluntarily said to do. Let's all go back to Jerusalem. Well, Paul is not exactly stupid, but here is what he says. Look at verse 10. Am I willing to go to Jerusalem? Absolutely not. He says, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat. I, as a Roman citizen, I am here. You, Festus, hold your authority not under the Jews in Jerusalem, but under Caesar in Rome. You are bound by Roman law, and so am I. And I'm not going back to Jerusalem. I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. You know it. I know it. They can't prove a thing that they've said, and yet they want me back there under their law to kill me. No, sir. I am at Caesar's judgment seat. And look at verse 11. If I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. You can't deliver me over to them. You're talking to a Roman citizen here. Now, it's kind of interesting when you look at this. Later on, and we'll see it over in chapter 26. Paul, we hear from Agrippa that here is a man who might have been turned loose if he hadn't appealed to Caesar. Paul, in a sense, puts himself in something of a bind here. On the other hand, I'm not sure what Paul could have done. And on the other hand, assuming that you have three hands, which you don't, on the other hand, he had to go to Rome. God told him that he was going to go to Rome. Well, he's on his way to Rome, and this is what God used here. So one way or another, look at this. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go." Just that simple. I don't know how the Jews felt about this. Oh, I'm sure they were disappointed and gnashing at the teeth and angry, because this is it for them. Paul will never go back to Jerusalem again. Paul will never stand before the Sanhedrin. Paul will never be judged by the Jews and by the Mosaic law. He's on his way to Rome. And he will stand before Caesar, and he will make his case there, and quite frankly, he will die there. But we don't know that yet, do we? Well, we know it, of course, but Paul didn't know it. But Festus did exactly what he should have done. You're a Roman. You appeal to Caesar. You're on your way to Rome, brother. Get ready. Let's read on here. We've got a little bit of time. Festus, and after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice, or actually probably Bernice, it's probably how she pronounced that, but we'll say Bernice, that's the way we say it in out here in the hinterland, they came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, "There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him." Now, this is interesting. Festus here apparently kind of sees Paul as an entertaining individual. And after all, we've got to keep this guy entertained. Now, you know, nowadays we have television and we have everything in the world to entertain us. Things were a little simpler back then. I've got an individual here in jail that I think you and your wife would kind of be interested in hearing. He's an interesting guy, and I don't know quite what to make of him, but I think maybe we'll just bring him out here and we'll see what we can see. We've got him. He's here. I was at Jerusalem. The Jews, they informed me against him. They wanted to have me judge him and to kill him. But in verse 16, I answered, "It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accusers face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Therefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed." I thought they were going to, the guy was some kind of breaker of in breach of the Roman law. But no, it was things about their own law. Huh. What am I to do with this guy? Well, what did he do? We'll have to see next time. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.